Hey, Betties. Welcome to the Better Podcast. It's your host, Dr. Stephanie. It is geeky magic time where I step away from the interviews and just talk to you. It's just going to be me and you today. And these episodes, I'm going to bring you personal insights, frequently asked questions, topic du jour in a more condensed, quick, and actionable way. I go hard on the geek, wrap it up with sprinkles and magic for you to do and be better.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Geeky Magic, the second show that we have in the Better Podcast. And today I wanted to share with you what it was like to have COVID. I'm sure many of you may have already experienced this, vaccinated or unvaccinated. And I wanted to share with you, in case you have been the you have been the ninja who has dodged all the variants over the last 2 years, some of the protocols that you can do to help you get over the cold faster, or the virus faster, and some nutritional protocols, some physical protocols. And if you have already been infected and maybe you are dealing with long hauler syndrome, these strategies will also be applicable to you as well.
One of my goals this year is to make it my best year ever with my skin. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is with the Boncharge Red Light Neck and Chest Mask. Wrinkles, acne, scarring, skin roughness, loss of collagen and elastin happen in the face and in the neck and the décolletage area on our chest, where the skin is very thin and susceptible to skin damage. I think at this point we're all pretty good about putting sunscreen on our face, but so many of us miss the neck and the chest area too. I use the Boncharge neck and chest mask daily for about 10 minutes in the morning while I'm checking emails. Their red and near infrared light waves together penetrate up to 5 to 10 centimeters below the skin surface. The red light reaches the skin's top layers, and the NIR light targets the deeper tissues without UV exposure, and that's going to help reduce the fine lines, wrinkles, and to help ramp up collagen and elastin production. So I want you to head over and have your best skin with me this year. Go to boncharge.com/better. That's BETTER. And use the discount code BETTER at checkout. And that's going to give you 15% off your entire cart.
Transform your health and fitness with the Carol Bike, the smartest, most effective exercise backed by science. You can experience unparalleled results in just a minimum of 15 minutes per week, thanks to AI personalized workouts tailored to your age and your fitness level. You will increase fat loss, train up your strength and your speed, and have better energy, something that every woman, including myself, absolutely covets. I always say that women are the original biohackers. If there's a way for us to feel better and look better, we are all over it. Carol Bike, in my opinion, is one of the best pieces of cardio equipment that you can invest in. Studies prove that Carol helps you achieve a 12% increase in cardio fitness, lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and reduces blood pressure by 5% in as little as 8 weeks. Begin your transformation with the Carol Bike today and enjoy $100 off using the promo code BETTER for our beautiful Better Podcast listeners. That's BETTER. All you have to do is visit carolbike.com.
All right. So yes, I had COVID, and I misspoke before when I said a cold, because that's actually what it felt like. It felt like it was a really bad cold. And I've had the flu just once before in my life. And let me tell you, I thought I was going to die when I had that flu. This was not nearly severe as that presentation. You know, that flu I had, it was, oh God, maybe it's like a decade ago now. I slept straight, you know, like all day long. I couldn't eat a lick of food, generally down for the count. I was actually quite nervous because I had never experienced anything like that. And the infection that I got, presumably Omicron, in comparison was probably, let's call it 5 out of 10, or 10, you know, 6 out of 10 in comparison. Like, so it was not as severe, however, not to be discounted either. It wasn't just like I have a runny nose. It was, you know, it was, I would call it a mild flu. That's how I would characterize it. And of course, it started the day before I had a really big podcast scheduled, as Mother Nature tends to play jokes on me in that way. I was scheduled to have a podcast, record a podcast with Dr. Paul Saladino, the carnivore MD, as he is known, and who has graciously rescheduled with me. So we are actually recording in a few weeks, recording the original one that we should have recorded in a few weeks. And when I first started feeling off, it presented as a really bad headache and low back pain. And I knew that something was off, because let me tell you, Betty's, I have been adjusted, you know, I've been under chiropractic care for the past 25 years. This buttercup doesn't get headaches and she doesn't get back pain. So whenever any of those two symptoms present, it's like, what's happening? This is wrong. You know, my back is, it is healthy and good. There's no issues with it. I have no problems with neck issues, no headaches, nothing. So the first night, I ran a fever. The fever was about 39 Fahrenheit, and, I forgot to convert that, 39 Celsius. And I don't know what that is Fahrenheit. That's probably 102, let's say, or 101, which I welcomed actually. And that might sound a little weird, to welcome in a fever, especially when the whole world runs to take antipyretics, right? Like they run to take fever reducing medication. But one of the things, my hope in this podcast is to also reframe what it means to be sick and what it means to be healthy. If fever is a natural, healthy, robust immune response to an invading pathogen, and fevers, one of the things that they do, if it's a bacterial infection, it'll denature the proteins on the bacteria. The fever will also slow viral replication. So I had a fever, I was sweating, and I loved it. And I would encourage anyone who does have a fever of 39 or in Fahrenheit up to 104, let's say, to actually ride that fever out. That is a beautiful response from your immune system. And it is a way to actually slow the duration of the sickness. So anytime that you take an antipyretic medication to reduce the fever, you're just prolonging the sickness. So highly recommend fevers. It is actually your immune system's way of saying, hey boo, don't worry, I got this, okay? So anyway, mild flu symptoms I had for about 3 days. And then I also actually lost my taste and smell, which, to be honest, at the time of this recording, still hasn't fully returned. My taste is back, but not back to normal. Everything is like kind of muted. You know, I can taste it, sort of, but not like before. Smell, I'm still not back to smell. So unless my face is like right up in the thing I'm smelling, I cannot smell it. I was making keto cookies the other day, and the whole house, everyone was like, wow, it smells so good. I'm like, really? And this is actually... this smell, of course, this is evidence, of course, that the virus invades the nervous system, because the olfactory, our sense of smell, is one of the most ancient mechanisms that we have. And this is one of the tests that I used to run in the clinic to evaluate cranial nerve function. So in the case of the olfactory nerve, I would assess how far away someone could smell the item that... the item at hand. So maybe it was coffee beans or vanilla or smelly markers I had as well in my little neurological kit. And depending on the distance that they could smell it, it was either a mild loss, a moderate loss of smell, or a marked loss of smell. And right now I'm about 3 weeks post-infection, and I still have marked loss. Like I still have severe loss of smell, meaning that the item has to be right under my nose in order for me to pick up the scent. And, I can like my, I just picked up some coffee beans yesterday for my coffee machine, and literally I had to open the bag and put my face in the bag in order to smell the coffee, which is crazy. Normally I could open the bag and kind of, you know, maybe if it was at my hips or if my arms were extended, I could pick up that aroma, but I can't do that right now. Unless my face is right there, unless my nose is right there. And you may also be able to hear in my voice is also not 100% back. So, you know, I was joking a couple of weeks ago, you know, like welcome to my late night FM DJ voice. And now it's still a bit lower than it normally is. And there's a bit more, what I would characterize as a bit more of like a nasal component to it. So voice is still not quite there. And coming back to the fever, you know, one of the things that I did physically that I did every day, actually for 7 straight days, even when my own body had stopped producing a fever, was a sauna every day at about 151 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about the maximum that my sauna can do. And I was in there for about an hour daily. And the reason why I was doing that is I was trying to continue to replicate some of the beneficial effects that the fever was doing. So trying to increase my core body temperature. Of course, some detoxification happens as you're sweating and you're, you know, but the detox was not the goal. The detox was to the sauna use was to replicate the fever. The other thing that I had actually, very sore throat and a cough. Nothing really deep into the lungs. It was more just in my throat, but I was becoming concerned at one point. It was like maybe the 3 or 4 day mark that I might be getting a secondary infection, which can often happen with either a viral or a bacterial pathogen because your immune system is working so hard for so long. Opportunistic bacteria that we all or viruses that we all house all the time begin to also replicate and take over, which is why I was saunaing like a gangster for a week. So in addition to the daily sauna, this is what I did. So physically, I was always in warm things. So warm sweater, I had a scarf on, I had a hat on, I had socks on. And the socks, so my feet and my neck, those were two areas that I never wanted to be chilly or cold. And in fact, I wanted them to be warm. And this is more from my traditional Chinese medicine training around wind invasions, the neck, the back of the neck being one of them. And then the feet are entry points for wind invasions. So if you're ever sick, just like a general, you know, maybe your mom or your, you know, grandmother have already told this to you, but always wear socks. And when we look at acupuncture points, the 5 winds are actually in the little nooks in between each of the toes. So it was always warm. For my respiratory symptoms, so like the cough that I had, you know, maybe a sore throat's not respiratory, but what I was, you know, I was stuffed up, a lot of congestion in my sinuses. I was using a nebulizer hourly. So a nebulizer is something in the show notes, I'll put the link to the one that, I have. It's like, there's nothing special. I just picked it up on Amazon. But what I did was I put 1 mL of hydrogen peroxide, to 5 mL of, distilled water in the nebulizer and then let that run for 10 to 15 minutes. And hydrogen peroxide is exactly what you think it is. It's that cheap. You can kind of get it at the drug store. Very, very potent antiviral, antibacterial. I would alternate the hydrogen peroxide with colloidal silver as well. So 1 mL of colloidal silver to 5 mL of distilled water, and I'll run that on the nebulizer for like 10 to 15 minutes. And I did that hourly for about 3 days. And it cleaned out my nasal cavity or disinfects the nasal cavity, which is where the primary replication is taking place. I also found that it made me sneeze, and that's probably because the hydrogen peroxide, like, you know, the 1 to 5 ratio was quite high. So sneezing is also a good, you know, reaction by the body to sort of clear things out.
I am incredibly bullish on sauna as a therapy for recovery, heart health, and overall aging well. I personally decided on an infrared sauna from Sunlighten because of the range of far wavelengths and near infrared wavelengths that it offers. Saunas help with detoxification and rejuvenation to rid your body of toxins. It helps with heart health by improving circulation, reducing blood pressure, and helping keep the arteries supple. It helps with muscle recovery by easing the tension and soreness to recover faster, and of course, stress reduction. With the warmth and the relaxation of sitting in a sauna, it's crucial for hormonal balance and achieving a state of well-being necessary for a strong physique and a strong mind. If you visit sunlighten.com/better and use code better to get a discount. That is sunlighten, sunlighten.com/better, and use code better at checkout.
And then the other thing sort of physically or, you know, behavior wise that I did was I slept like holy mother of Isis. I slept like the boss that I am. Like I was sleeping for 12 to 13 hours a night. And I did that for 7 to 8 days straight. Never have I ever slept that much consistently, like that 12 to 13 hour range. Like I've maybe done, you know, maybe after a long flight or something, like, you know, sleep for 12 or 13 hours, but every day for 7 or 8 days, I've never done that. And I just felt like I needed that sleep. It was my body's, you know, my body was basically saying like, girl, like, you know, you're down for the count, like take a break. And I just followed that innate guidance. And, so lots of sleeping. And the other thing that I did, and I can't really justify why I did this, but I felt compelled to, I was taping my mouth shut, you know, a la James Nestor, right? So making sure that I was continuing to breathe through my nose and not my mouth. Whether that was the right thing to do, I can't say. Either way. But I know that when I'm sick, I have a tendency to breathe with my mouth open, and I didn't want that. Partly because it was annoying my throat. And the other thing was I just wanted to be breathing through my nose. So I don't know if that's the right thing to do. So I'm not recommending that, but that's just what I felt compelled to do. So those are some of the physical things. Chemically or nutritionally, I wanted to zinc that motherfucker out of existence. So I was taking 50 milligrams of zinc 1 to 2 times a day. So I have these lozenges from, I believe the company is Life Extension. I'll have to go look at my supplement cabinet, but they come in these sort of slow, these lozenges that you can just kind of pop in your mouth and keep. I was doing 2 of those a day. I was also taking THC or cannabis for the headaches. And I was doing this, obviously not smoking it, because when you have a respiratory illness, you don't want to be smoking anything. So I was chewing. So I was taking gummies, and I had these gummies that were 5 milligrams. You know, each of the gummies were like 5 milligrams. So I was doing 5, maybe 10 if my headache was really bad. I may or may not have gotten a touch giggly after taking 3 of those gummies on one occasion with a very bad headache. And of course, there's been a lot of research on oral ingestion of cannabis and its effects on the brain versus smoking, you know, weed and its effects on the brain. So, cannabis chewing, yes. Smoking, no. And there has been some, at least some preliminary studies on slowing the or stopping the viral replication under the influence of cannabis. So I was taking some micro doses, like 5 to 10, like 1 or 2 gummies, let's say. I also took a hero's dose or heroine's dose of vitamin D3, and D3 only. So it was around, I was taking about 30 drops, and each drop was 1,000 IU. So I was taking about 30,000 IUs daily. You want to have, if you're going to do something like that, you definitely want to not have the K2 in it. A lot of vitamin D will now come with a D3 and K2 blend, but the K2 does have, when you're taking that much of it, can have some deleterious effects on the arterial system. So 30,000 IUs of just D3. I know doctors, I have friends who prescribe 100,000 IUs of vitamin D, but I just tempered my intake with 30 and felt that that was an appropriate level for me. Hyperhydrate. Let me tell you, and I was telling this to my clinicians last week, I almost lost 8 pounds in that 1 week that I was sick with COVID, despite drinking 4 gallons of water a day. And sometimes it was 6. So, you know, most days I have these big mason jars that I drink water out of. And at least 4 times I was refilling them. Sometimes I was feeling so dehydrated that it was up to like 6. And I also was taking salt. So one of the things I was trying to do was to stay hydrated because I was so dehydrated. This virus, man, like even with the Omicron variant or the seemingly milder variant, it eats away at your reserves despite my best effort to stay hydrated and despite my best effort to eat, which was also very difficult. I had a very hard time eating. I did make, you know, I was having soup. I have chicken, like I have bone broth. And I was making like a chicken rice soup, with some cinnamon in it. And man, like even just getting down a bowl was like incredibly difficult. And I was joking, all week that, you know, maybe my next book should be like the COVID diet, you know, like how to lose 8 pounds in 8 days without exercise. Right. It's got a catchy title to it, although, maybe the mechanism is not ideal. So hyperhydrate, at least 4 gallons or 4 liters of water, daily. And I would also take it with salt so that your body, so you can help your body hold on to that water as well. The other thing I did was I made ginger shots. So this was like ground up ginger, black pepper, cayenne, squeeze of like a cayenne pepper, a squeeze of like a little, you know, squeak of, I have some raw pasteurized honey from a farm that I go visit every summer. And it's like raw unpasteurized honey. They're a bee farm. And, you know, you certainly don't need to have that particular honey, but if you can get raw and unpasteurized honey, that's amazing. It's way better than the like squeezy bottles that you might find in the grocery store. And ginger, of course, is a broad antiviral. If you hate those shots because, and I would understand why, because they honestly taste like death. It's the worst. What I started doing at the beginning of the week was I was diluting the ginger, the cayenne, the pepper, the honey. I was diluting it in hot water and sort of sipping it as a tea through the day. And then I lost my taste and my smell. So I was actually able to take it as a very concentrated shot. So I was taking those shots like a gangster because I could feel the heat. You know, I could sort of feel the heat from the pepper, but I couldn't taste it. I couldn't taste anything. So, you know, take that what you will. So it can either be diluted in a tea and sort of sipped over the course of maybe an hour, or you can take it concentrated in there. And then ginger typically will concentrate, like the active agents in ginger will concentrate in the blood about 60 minutes after ingestion as well. Now, interestingly, the other observation I wanted to share with you is since getting COVID, I have been very carnivore. Like I'm eating no vegetables, no desire for vegetables, which is not normal for me. I'm only eating meat. The only exception to that would be sauerkraut. I have a certain brand of sauerkraut that I just adore. And I have like 5 jars of it in my kitchen at any one time. And that's the only vegetable, let's say, I want. Sauerkraut is essentially just fermented cabbage. But I'm eating all sorts of meat. I have been having fruit. So I've been having, I've been able to stomach about half of an apple. And then I've been also having pink grapefruit. So kind of, and the apple I've been having, I don't know if this matters, but it's like it's called the Pink Lady. So it's sort of like a pinky skin apple and then pink grapefruit. I'm actually planning on asking Paul, Dr. Saladino, when he comes on the show, if he's heard anything like that, like post-COVID infection, you know, tastes shifting more carnivore or less, you know, it might be just a N of one and I'm just a freak. I don't know, but I don't want vegetables. And I've, of course, you know, my whole, you know, premise around female health and healing is the consumption in particular of green leafy vegetables. So I'll ask Saladin, I'll see what he has to say, and you'll be able to tune into that as well. Lastly, a couple things. Magnesium, I took 800 milligrams daily for about a week. One of the things we know just via, for women, because you menstruate every month, but when you're sick, absolutely your magnesium levels tank. So I was taking kind of the upper limit of magnesium, 800 milligrams daily. And lastly, I took Chinese skullcap, licorice, and isatis for immune support. So these are in droplets, in like drop form. And that was, I'm not a herbalist by any means, but this was information that I had derived from an absolutely fabulous book that you all should have on hand. It's called Herbal Antivirals by Booner. I'll put the Amazon link in there as well, but a fabulous book for, he has another one on herbal antibiotics as well. So Chinese skullcap and licorice, of course, are two compounds, when you put them together, they amplify each other. Again, broad antivirals have been used, or there's some studies or some research to suggest that they were very effective with the original SARS. So SARS-CoV-1, which was way back in 2003, I guess it was now, or 2002. So fabulous book. That's where that comes from. I always have Chinese skullcap and licorice in my supplement cabinet. And yeah, that's what I did. Didn't get any secondary infections. Was very happy about that. There was no need to take antibiotics. Didn't take any antivirals either. So I know that, you know, there are some antivirals that are specifically for COVID that you can take. Decided against that. I wanted to see if I could handle it myself, particularly given that Omicron is a much milder variant and that I'm young, at least my emotional maturity, I'm very young. And, you know, I'm in my 40s, so relatively young on the risk, on the absolute risk and relative risk scale. Very healthy as well. So as you all know, I've been like, you know, praying to the church of resistance training for, you know, a good portion of my life, several decades now. So really felt like I had the reserves and the wherewithal to sort of do it naturally. And that, of course, may not be effective for everyone, but those were some of the natural lifestyle interventions that I undertook. And hopefully, if you are on this journey with me, you will I'll be able to report on when my smell gets better. It's really weird not being able to smell anything unless you're right up to it. And hopefully my voice also, as a podcaster, kind of important to have a voice. Hopefully my voice also is on the mend and gets back to its original perky self. But until then, I do feel like I sort of have a bit of a frog in there. So would love to hear if this was useful for you, if there's anything that you learned that you didn't know before that maybe you might integrate into future viral infections as well. A lot of these protocols that I talked about would be really useful, not just for SARS-CoV-2, but for any viral infection. Like, as I was mentioning, ginger is a broad antiviral, zinc and magnesium, hyperhydrating, sleeping, nebulizer to sort of clean out the nasal cavity in the upper respiratory area. So I hope that you found this useful. Would love to hear, you know, in your reviews and in your comments that you leave about the podcast, what you're taking from this. So until next time, I'll see you then.
All right. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And I must give you the obligatory legal and medical disclaimer here. This podcast, Better with Dr. Stephanie, is for general information only. And the advice, recommendations we discuss do not replace medicine, chiropractic, or any other primary healthcare provider's advice, treatment, or care. In the consumption of this podcast, there is no doctor-patient relationship that has been formed, and the use and implementation of the information discussed are at the sole discretion of the listener.
The information and opinions shared on this podcast are not intended to be a substitute for primary care, diagnosis, or treatment. In other words, guys, be smart about this. Take it with a grain of salt. Take this information to your primary healthcare provider and have a discussion with him or her to make the best choice that is for you. Remember, I am a doctor, but I am not your doctor. And these conversations are meant for educational purposes only.